Roy.
Hello. What are you doing?
I am going to make one of the biggest leaps of logic that you will ever see.
Oh, foreshadowing. Don't dislocate anything. You've got a big month coming up. You don't want to be fucking like old mate Finji on the side, having to sit two rows back with a busted knee.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Plenty of room on a touch sideline, though.
That's true.
You
could sit up on one of those fucking clubbies chairs like they have at the beach. Line judge's fucking chair at the tennis, just sort of shouting abuse through a megaphone. You'll need a hydraulic lift to get up there, of course.
No, I'd need a, like one of those electric up and down the sideline. Do a turn at the end.
Oh, like a segue, like fucking Paul Blart Mall Cop. Welcome back to our music podcast, by the way. That's where the intro music can go.
Some variance this week, shall we say.
I like that kind of high-pitched, unsure where to go. Was it? Just that Thor gif of them going to go, was it really? Tell me about your week. Actually, it's been 2 weeks, I think, hasn't it?
Well, I would like to say that I found Emma Donovan and the Whores very, very similar this week.
Emma Donovan and the Whores is a tremendous fucking band name.
That's right.
Amel and the Sniffers, step the fuck back. Emma Donovan and the Whores, bring it.
And that's
despite the
not
fact
a
that one sounds like fucking Helmet and one sounds like 1973.
Yeah. The reason I had pretty much exactly the same reaction to both albums, despite them being about as diametrically opposed as you can get, is that I sort of settled on there's lots of bits in each one that I like. You know, I really like this bass guitar riff, or I really like this drumming, or I really like that. But
we're talking about Emma here, are we? We're talking about Whores.
But even like some of the.
I need to know which album I'm putting the drop in for. This is Tripping Balls, a music podcast. I'm Doc. He's Bezo.
Okay, well, let's talk about Emma Donovan first, because it's very country light, country adjacent.
Oh,
country.
It's not country light. It's Cletus. It's very specifically an old fashioned type of country. Like I was saying, it feels resolutely 1973 right down to the album cover. Like, if you said Emma Donovan's going to do a Welcome to Country, this is not what I would have expected. It is definitely, you know, it's lovingly and painstakingly crafted, and everything is thought through really well. But, you know, it's just not my fucking vibe, man. Sad Cletus gospel country. You know what it made me think of? You know when Roy and HG used to like do the call of a State of Origin game? And they'd do the national anthem and they'd play Lionel Rose's version of Let Me Thank You for Just Being You. The entire album made me think of Lionel Rose doing Let Me Thank You for Just Being You. And that's exactly the kind of country I'm thinking of. Kind of sad, gospel influenced, Cletus, I'm lonesome on the fucking prairie and my dog died and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, the drumming definitely not in this album. But there was guitar bits and bits of her voice and stuff, and I'm like, oh, actually, I actually really like that sound. But if you put it into the overall framework of the country music sort of style, I just got to the end of each song going, I don't think I really enjoyed that song.
No, I don't know how much more of this I can take.
Yeah,
it sounds like this is where she came from. Like, it sounds like her, your first act was with like a family country act. And then she got inspired by other stuff and she went off into funk and soul and all kinds of stuff. And I could certainly see why she would be fucking amazing out front of a funk and soul band with that voice.
Yep.
I just feel like this is what moves her right now.
It did not move me.
It feels like a waste.
Yeah.
But it probably makes some people in Tamworth and Gore quite happy.
And like, whatever she does... Like, if she does a funk thing next, I would definitely check it out because I do like her voice and I would like to hear it in a different context.
What if she... Emma Donovan and the Whores. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, yeah. When she does that collab with the Whores next, it's going to be wicked because
I think it's the Whores. I think they are only Whores. I think it's singular, you know.
Whores. One of the things I did not like about the Whores was the vocalist. So
yeah, although it was in the bit, you know.
I know it's the style. It's the style of the time. Yeah.
So what Whores are doing, if we're going to transition to them, is they are doing what feels resolutely early mid-90s industrial rock slash metal. If you're thinking Helmet, you're thinking Killjoy era She Had, you're thinking maybe even a more analog version of Filter. You know, War, what is it good for? Riffs. Lots of real big fucking riffs. And I dug it. I dug the first track. And then I lost a bit of interest, and then they got me back again in the middle, and then you wouldn't want the album to be any longer. It's kind of my my credit. And I did love the fact that where they left it on a fucking Hammond organ credits. I thought that was so beautifully done. It was the last thing I was expecting, was old mate just slightly sarcastically reciting the album credits over this Hammond organ remix of one of the big riffs they'd been using.
Again, would listen to a song, would go, fuck man, I really like that drumming, I really like that riff, or and then I get to the end of the song and I'm like, I don't think I really enjoyed that.
I didn't enjoy that experience.
No, it's yeah.
It does feel like they've belted you around the head with the fucking leg bone from the album cover.
Speaking of riffage, small sidebar here. I've been because of a sudden gap in my podcast schedule for some unknown reason, I've been listening to.
You took the week off, but you didn't. You had a gap because you had a gap. You caused that gap. Oh, yeah, you mean your podcast listening schedule?
Listening, yes.
Yeah, that was weird. That was just suddenly there was just I had so much more time this week. I couldn't work out what I was.
I was listening to some other things. So I was listening to a podcast called Bandsplain, which is pretty interesting. It's sort of it's very long.
Is that where Tim McMahon explains things to you?
Yeah. But they did a Stone Temple Pilots episode, which is sort of like, oh, that's very interesting. And I just finished listening to it, and I had like an hour and a half driving with the twins in the car. And so Ray was sitting up front, and he's the more out of the three of them, he's the one that sort of wants to break music down and figure out how it works. And he's, you know, he's the one sort of always drumming a beat or humming a, you know, humming a drop or whatever. And so I was like, oh, Ray, well, I'll give you a Cliff Notes 90s rock education. So I just queued up a whole heap of shit on the drive there and the drive back. So, and I did a sort of mix of everything. Nirvana, Stone Temple Pilots, Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains. I did a Mudhoney song. Who else did I? I did some Faith No More. I know they're not strictly grunge, but they're around the same area. Didn't do Chili Peppers. Forgot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, but they don't really fit that. I mean, do you have to have experienced the 80s for that stuff to make sense, though? Because I always felt like the early 90s were a reaction to the 80s. And without it, it just seems grim and drab and down-tuned and you know.
Well, that was what I was interested at, right? So I'm like, here, I'm just going
to
I'm going to throw all these songs at you, and I just want to see your without context reaction to what, like, where do you rank? Oh, Rage Against the Machine threw some rage in as well. So, you know, which songs do you enjoy and which songs are you like, I don't really want to listen to that? Was completely out on Pearl Jam. Now, whether that's
But that makes sense because, I mean, there's when you're a kid, you want stuff that has a bit of sugar in it. There is no pop sugar hit in any of that era stuff. Maybe the Chili Peppers, but that was the whole thing. It was like a reaction against writing songs with hooks.
Well, I think his rankings went Epic, Rooster.
But Rooster's a blues riff. It really is. If you pull it down, it could have been anything. It didn't need to be grunge. You could have easily done Rooster. You know, Van Halen could have done Rooster. They would have done it differently, but the chord progression would have been the same.
Interstate Love Song and Killing in the Name, I think, were the fours.
I was going to ask whether you went for the fuck you, I won't do what you tell me.
Yeah, well, so Vanessa's sort of been trying to explain swearing to them because,
you don't explain swearing. It's like explaining farts. They just do them because they're funny.
Well, I think Vanessa's over policing her own language when she's had a few wines at the end of a very long week. So she's like, okay, this is what swearing is because I need to come down and say fuck to Dad about what's happened in my day. Which is fair enough.
I just need to get them to get the level right. Like calling something an effing C when all you've done is that the app closed when you weren't expecting it to. That's not quite the tier that we're looking for. We just need to figure out how to kind of meter our effort with the fucking top shelf swear words.
Yeah, give it some context. But I just thought that was really an interesting little one-off experiment to see what grabbed and what didn't. Nirvana didn't really grab either, which I was a bit surprised at.
Well, to be honest, when I was 12, 13, it didn't grab me either. Mm. It didn't grab me in period. Most of this stuff didn't grab me in period because it was a bit too fucking grim.
The other little interesting thing about that podcast, which I had no idea from the way I listened to it or approached it, but Stone Temple Pilots were sort of quite widely derided in the American music industry.
Yes, yes they were. I remember this because remember when we did our very first classic albums, you put that album forward and we did solicit commentary. And quite a lot of the comments that we got were like, these guys were fucking Sunset Strip hair farmers.
Yeah, posers.
They were posers. They were, you know, latecomers. They were just trying to, and pretty much the same kind of stuff that, you know, Veruca Salt got accused of, or, you know, the second wave of anything. And this, of course, was the 90s when everything had to be fucking authentic. You know, it was, they were extremely derided for that.
And that's what the podcast sort of settled on, which was that the authenticity wars of the 90s just seemed utterly stupid.
Fucking ridiculous.
In retrospect. Like,
but that was Generation X. That's what, being authentic was the most important thing in the fucking world.
And when you actually did the research, some of those songs that were accused of being, you know, Pearl Jam ripoffs were written and jammed and demoed and played at parties well before Pearl Jam was even a thing. So.
No, Stone Temple Pilots, you know, you can't accuse them of that. Bush, though. Bush were fucking Aravistes. They were fucking strap-ons.
Yeah. Oh, and like if there's a wave of something, you're always going to get people riding the wave.
Well, you remember Silverchair got accused of that. Nirvana in pyjamas. Yeah. And he's like, well, they are literal children. They are playing the music that they're influenced by. Their influences probably only go back about 2 years. Give them some fucking credit. And as they evolved, they developed their own sound and they figured out who they wanted to be. And I found them much less interesting. So, you know, there's that. But a lot of people really love the stuff that they did later in their career, the Straight Lines era stuff.
So I'm a little bit nervous about Bad Nerves. What did you think of this album?
I thought this was just a bunch of shouty, fun times, sugar rush. Ironically, there's a lot of sugar in this. Crash bang, chav sing-alongs. It felt like the Libertines, but 20 years later. There's no nutritional value whatsoever in this. It's still mostly fun. It tails off at the end, but, you know, it was fun without being particularly substantial. It was a bit like eating fairy floss. It was a sugar rush, and you know, it didn't persist.
I had a particularly busy day at work one day, and again, one of those days where I wasn't listening to podcasts, and I was sort of in and out of the car and in my office, you know, doing design stuff, so I had music on, and I had this playing all day, and I sort of got, in sort of one-song chunks, and I got halfway through the album, and I'm like, I don't know whether it makes me feel like I'm on amphetamines or I need to be on amphetamines to listen to this album, but it was just, I just felt like I had the music fizzing in my blood. It was just so relentlessly fast, and it was, like, the first listen was just so much fun. It was easily the most enjoyable album of the week.
Certainly on the first play. It's only after the second or third play you kind of realise there's not really much to this.
Yeah. It's a little bit like I find now, like, drinking ciders or ginger beers.
Yeah.
And you just get that sugar coating on the back of your tongue after the third one. It's like, I don't really want to have another one of those.
No, or the hangover from this is going to be really, really catastrophically bad. It is interesting we're going back to sugar metaphors again, because it is kind of what it is. They build themselves as being, you know, like a power pop / garage rock band or rock and roll band. But yeah, it does, you know, there's lots of high, I mean, the song that probably sums up their album the best is You've Got the Nerve, which is just literally just using the phrase "You've got the nerve" over and over again. The lyrics are as shallow as a fucking wading pool in a 6 month drought, but because they're just hammering these fun riffs and throwing lots of harmonies and melodies at you, and you go, "Gee, this is fun, man!" And then you get to the end of it and go, "There was nothing in that that had any nutritional quality. There's nothing in that that had any artistic merit. But that was fun. I could do that again. I just don't think I could do the whole album of it." And generally, it's when they try to slow things down and try a few more things that they kind of fall on their ass. Like the last couple of tracks where they're trying to be a little bit more thoughtful and
introspective,
melancholy, and it just does not sit with them at all.
I wonder how this will go in that end of year summer setting.
I don't expect to see it. I just don't.
No.
No. I mean, it might get a run, but I think because it ends with it kind of farts to a if they could have – the problem is if they had a whole album of that kind of Sugar Rush, Crash Bang, sing-along stuff, like the Libertines comparison is probably fair if people remember them. And, of course, we did do one of their albums when Adam was on the show, but if you go back and listen to their first album – Not the self-titled one, the before that, the Up the Bracket, I think it was called. It had this kind of vibe too. In itself, was kind of a throwback to Britpop, that kind of supergrassy, or something that Supergrass did, but it wasn't their only string to their bow. It's like these guys are just doing the Supergrass thing, the fucking, you know, feels all right style thing.
Yeah.
It's mostly a joy, but there are decreasing returns.
Really enjoyed the first listen. Yep. Listen through was good.
So fun. Have one listen to this album and then don't revisit it again. That's our promise to you, folks. That's our recommendation.
So
there's only listen to Emma Donovan if you like Cletus, and only listen to Whores if you really wish that she had still sounded like they did on Killjoy and Churn.
You know how we've got the Volkswagen off in the distance as the Joker album. I think we now have two Volkswagens because Crowded House brought out a new album this week.
So you're saying you're not going to take so what album are you going to pick for this week if you're not going to pick the Crowded House album and that Pearl Jam album, given that you were so keen to play it at your children, you know?
I was a little bit proud. I was like, what do you think of Alive? Yeah. I was like, yep.
Alive's a pretty good song. It's just been played out. It's just if you've ever worked in a workplace where they play up Triple M on the radio.
Which I do.
You just don't never want to hear it again. You hear that, those opening fucking things. Oh, Jesus. The funny thing is that you think of a song like Alive, you think this is supposed to be the big reaction to, you know, Sunset Strip, Hair Farmer, 80s cock rock, hair metal. The guitar work in Pearl Jam stuff is extremely fucking Sunset Strip, Hair Farmer areas.
Yeah. Yes. It's got that. Whereas we played Epic and I still react to Epic not that differently to the way when I heard it for the first time.
It was extremely well named. It is a fucking space opera of a song.
It is. And like Ray's end of this stage where he just wants to drum on everything.
Yes.
And so watching him just absolutely slap his thighs during that song was
And it does not matter fun. That the lyrics are fucking stupid. Really dumb.
Oh, yes. This is really dumb.
It's What is it?
All right, I'm going to go with a guy called Alfie Templeman. He's an English guy, but he's signed to a Norwegian label.
And yet he's not doing weird fucking loud music.
No.
He is on a New Pop Revolution and a Indie Arrivals playlist.
Yeah, he describes it as indie R&B. I thought it had like a little bit of Scissor Sisters sort of vibe to it, but not quite the song I heard. Now that might be not the overall feel of the album, right? The album might be much more R&B than that song. But it sort of grabbed my interest enough to give it a go. So the album's called Radio Soul.
Stockdale Award contender as well. Alfie Templeman's second album, Radio Soul, pushes his songcraft further in every direction. From the ambitious, audacious title track, whose laid-back groove evolves into a full-blown jam, complete with spiraling saxophone, there's the immediate sense that this is bigger in magnitude than anything this artist has done in the past. This kind of needs to be more of a fucking Grand Designs voice, I think. It's a fitting leap forward for a mind-bogglingly gifted young musician who, at only 20, can only be described as a bona fide polymath. Can you guess who posted this? The future tense is too intense, he sings on Eyes Wide Shut. Yeah, he's a fucking polymath, that cunt. To sparkling pop backdrops, and it feels to Templeman, therefore, like a document of an artist waking up from limbo. That's, if it had more grammatical errors, it would be right in the fucking areas for the Stockdale Award of the Year.
Stockdale. Anyway, it's not a legacy act, and
it's a thing.
One of the songs popped up somewhere, and I thought it was okay, so that's pretty much all I need at this
Absolute
stage.
Endorsement, that is.
Well.
We'll add that to the playlist. Really, so Alfie really Templeman. And not Pearl Jam. What a shame. I'm going to go for something that does not sound like that. I am going to go for a two-piece out of Wellington called Earth Tongue. And the Earth Tongue story is that they – I can't spell Earth. I've spelled it Eithofer, which is not correct. The Earth Tongue story is that they are girl guitar, dude drums – so flipping the established fucking quota that you are supposed to do with your white stripes and your kills and whatever else. Earth Tongue is a heavy psych rock two-piece from Wellington. Guitarist Gussie Larkin is a master of the fuzz-smothered riff and along with Ezra Simon's off-kilter drumming, they've been sending punters in a transcendental state since their emergence in 2016. They've played with Queens of the Stone Age, Idols, Ty Segall, yada, yada, yada. So they are big fuzzy riffs, heavy psych, and this album, this is their first album, and it's been getting a lot of international buzz. They're an international label, so this should be really quite cool. But I just like the fact that she does the axe work and the singing, and he just fucking stands at the back and hits the sticks. So this is, because that's not normally the vibe that you get with these kinds of acts. And the new album from them is called Great Haunting, and it's very kind of like goth horror.
Might threaten me with a good time.
Not allowed. We can't have that.
Now, are Hockey Dad a Triple J Hottest 100 band, or are they someone that we've done in the past?
They are, but they're not a bad. They're not bad. Yeah. They're not bad. They're better. I always twin them with Polish Club because they're similar kind of vibe. But I think they're better than. I think they're better than that. We had the last album of theirs that we did was Blend in 2018, which was a decent album. It wasn't a. It didn't trouble the scores at the end of the year, but it was a decent album. And I don't think they've done an album since.
Well, there's one this week.
I did an album called Brain Candy. I think we did Brain Candy.
Did you want to do the new one as a joker this week?
We could do that.
It's 30 minutes and 19 seconds. It's about our sort of
about
length.
About our length. All right, then. So we'll do that. Add to playlist. Hockey Dad's album, Rebuild, Repeat. Now, are they rebuilding and repeating because they're a two-piece as well, I believe.
There's a bit of it going around.
Yes. It was an ARIA number 2, Brain Candy, in 2020. So they obviously didn't do anything. They had a bit of a slow time over COVID. Melodic pop is kind of what their vibe is, but it's not quite as downbeat and milquetoast as a lot of it. Having said that, it probably will be incredibly like toast that's just been slathered in milk. I know that's not what milquetoast means. I don't care.
It might be, but you also might get to that stage where you've done 3 albums and the 4th album's like, oh, fuck it, we can try something different.
I don't think they're going to be sounding like Earth Tongue. They're not going to be heavy psych, stoner, fucking fuzz rock kind of shit, singing about, you know, Satan and kind of nightmares and shit.
There will be quite a bit of variance between the 3 albums this week.
I think we should have decent range.
Yeah. All right, Doc. Any other musical thoughts you'd like to lay on me?
All my thoughts are musical. That's how they come out sounding. But no, I think that's enough from us this week, isn't it?
Sure.
Give the people what they paid for, which is fuck all.
Sounds good. All right. I will catch you on the flip side next week.
Yes, indeed you will. Catch you again, folks. Cheers.
See ya. Funnily enough, I was getting it. Curtis and I were both getting a haircut today, and the barber we go and see to, there's one guy there that's like him and his girlfriend have worked at the Woolworths we shop at, and because I use the boys like little autonomous drones when we go shopping, you know, just send them off with their own little shopping list. He knows the kids quite well, so we've got pretty friendly with him. And a Jungle song came on while he was cutting my hair. I said, I went and saw these guys last week, and he's like, oh, were you there too? And so we had a nice chat over a haircut about the live Jungle gig, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, this is not an experience I've had for a while.
Yeah. It's just completely random because, like, we probably got a separation of 15 years, but he actually did bring up that fact. He's like, he was shocked at the variance in the crowd from sort of, you know, really early 20-year-olds up to 50-year-olds, and that the spread was fairly even. You know, it wasn't like there was a core solid bunch of 40-year-olds and then some people on the fringes. He was up the top looking down on the crowd going, huh, look at that. There's, you know, it's not a sort of core demographic the way that some of the other live stuff that he goes and sees is, which I thought was interesting. That might have just been that it was a Sunday night.
Probably. I mean, who can afford to go on a Sunday night?
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Yep. It took quite a bit of organising for us to do it. So, all right, Doc.
Yeah, mate. We've got some interesting albums here.
Cool. All right, mate. I'll catch you later.
Cheers.
See ya.